Psalm 121 was a song of ascents, and it was one of the psalms that the Jews would have sang in their traveling to Jerusalem. It was a psalm that gave the Israelites comfort as they faced various trials and danger along their travels. Psalm 121, hear now God's holy word. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let us ask God to bless the preaching and hearing of his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that we have this morning to come and worship you. Many here this morning come with broken hearts about the events that have transpired yesterday. But Lord, as we study your word, we ask that you might take from our minds any distractions from our lives, that you would give us peace and help us to focus completely on your word. And for Father, in particular, we ask that you would guide my mind and my mouth, and that I would only preach your truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a broken and corrupt world, a world suffering the effects of sinfulness. Yesterday, all of us are aware that there was a horrible massacre that happened at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Squirrel Hill. And this felt especially real for my wife Elise and I because the synagogue was exactly one block from our apartment. It's exactly 250 feet from our front door to the front door of that synagogue. Yesterday was a day where people who were worshiping peacefully in their synagogue were ruthlessly attacked by a hateful man. And as I saw our immediate neighbors and how fearful they were and how upset they were, I began to look on Facebook and I began to see the fear in many of my Facebook friends, people expressing fear in coming to worship this morning. Some of you may have felt this way this morning. You may have felt fearful in coming to the worship of God. See, when we hear stories like this, it almost seems natural to think about what might happen if we were in these situations. We begin to think, what would we do? What if this happened to us? Who would be our help? Who would help us in our time of trouble? Well, brothers and sisters, you need not live in fear. For as our text tells us this morning, the Lord is our help in times of trouble. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us at all times, and he will protect us. You see, friends, there is nowhere safer that you can be than in Jesus. There is nowhere safer that you can be than in Jesus. Our text tells us this morning that Jesus Christ is our keeper, and the keeper of all those who profess faith in him. Please look at verse 5 with me. It says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. The idea of Christ being our keeper is not a new concept. In fact, we see this in the Old and the New Testaments. But what does it really mean for Christ to be our keeper? Well, first we need to understand what a keeper is. According to a popular English dictionary, a keeper is a person charged with responsibility for the preservation and conservation of something valuable, a person who guards or watches, like at a prison gate. And we see many kinds of keepers displayed throughout the scriptures. We see keepers of vineyards. We see keepers of sheep or shepherds. We see keepers of a gate, keepers of the king's forest, and keepers of a prison or prison guards, as we know them today. And these various keepers are charged with the preservation and conservation of that which they keep. But this morning our text tells us that Jesus Christ is our keeper. He's our keeper because he protects us. He's our keeper because he guides our steps and because he sends his Spirit to nourish and encourage us. I grew up in a small farming community in rural Pennsylvania, and many of my friends raised sheep. It wasn't uncommon for me to be around sheep. But it wasn't until I visited Northern Ireland back in, I think, 2009, when I really understood what it means to be a shepherd. You see, sheep are not particularly intelligent animals. And in Northern Ireland, there's so much rain and dew that happens in the night that if a sheep's wool grows past a certain length, in the night it begins to fill with water, and it can become so waterlogged that in the morning they're unable to get back up to their feet. And if a sheep is left in that condition for too long, they will die. And so the farmers, the shepherds, they must go out into the fields. They must help those sheep to their feet. And in the Middle East, sheep faced various other trials and dangers as well. You see, sheep are unable to care for themselves. They need a shepherd. They need a keeper of the sheep to protect them and to provide for them. And like sheep, we too need a shepherd. But our keeper, our shepherd, is Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. And he provides for you and me in a much greater way than an earthly shepherd ever could. And because he is our keeper, he will never allow us to stumble or fall. Please look at verses 3 and 8 with me. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. In verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Again, historically, the Jews would have sang this psalm as they traveled on the road to Jerusalem. And the road to Jerusalem was very treacherous. At one point in the journey, the Jews would have been over 1,000 feet above sea level. At another point in the journey, the Jews would have been 1,000 feet below sea level. There are steep cliffs, there are sharp ravines, and many, many places where they could stumble and fall. But in our text, we see the psalmist looking to the Lord with hope and faith. He knows that the Lord will never allow him to stumble or fall. See, whether he's headed to Jerusalem or whether he's headed home from Jerusalem, he trusts that the Lord will guard his steps. And this is the same hope that we have in Christ. You see, no matter where we are, no matter what trials we're going through, no matter what dangers we may face, Christ will never allow us to ultimately fall. Now, this doesn't mean that we will never struggle. This does not mean that we will never be persecuted. This does not mean that we will never find ourselves in dangerous situations. What this is telling us is that Christ holds us in the palm of his hands. He will never allow us to fall, and he will keep us safe for all eternity. During my first year in seminary, I had the privilege of working for a home nursing agency in the Pittsburgh area. And one of my clients, I'll call him Mr. Smith for the sake of anonymity. But Mr. Smith, he was an elderly man. I think he was 92 years old. And he had polio as a child. And so as an older man, he developed something called post-polio syndrome. And so he found it difficult to walk. And so he needed someone to help him to walk. He needed someone to hold his arm and help sure his steps. Now, as he got older, he began to develop a lot of fear about anything that could happen to him. He would often say to me, George — he never got my name right — but he would say, George, you're not going to let me fall, are you? And I would say, no, sir, I'm not going to let you fall. And my words gave him a sense of comfort, comfort in knowing that someone was there, someone was guiding his steps and directing his path so that he would not stumble or fall. But you see, in this situation, it was not that Mr. Smith was holding on to me, but rather I was holding on to him, not allowing him to stumble or fall. But friends, Christ guards your steps, guides your steps in a much greater way than I ever could for Mr. Smith. You see, Christ guides your physical steps and he guides your spiritual steps. I could tell Mr. Smith that I wasn't going to let him fall, but ultimately I didn't know what was going to happen in the future. I could have tripped on a banana peel and taken us both down. But when Christ says, I will never, ever allow you to stumble or fall, he means it. His words are final and true. And even though I held tight to Mr. Smith, Christ holds on even tighter to you so that he will never let you stumble or fall. And he also shields us from the dangerous elements of the world. Please look at verse 5b and 6 with me. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now again, as we read this text, we need to think about the psalmist traveling on the road to Jerusalem. Again, this journey was treacherous, and it was dangerous. The road itself was a danger to the psalmist, but the psalmist wasn't traveling by car like we do today. And so if it rained, he would likely get wet. And if the sun was scorching hot, his skin would be burned. If the wind were to pick up as he was at the top of a steep cliff, he could easily be pushed over the edge. But in our text, we see the psalmist looking to the Lord with hope, trusting that the Lord would shield him from the dangerous elements around him. He said, "The Lord is the shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day." Psalmist is looking to God to provide shade for him, to protect him from the powerful rays of the sun. Then he goes on and he says that the moon will not strike him by night, as if to say, the cold of the night will not overtake me. My God is mighty to save. And this protection that the psalmist experienced through God is the same protection that we experience through Christ. Again, it doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. Again, it doesn't mean that we will never find ourselves in a dangerous situation. The text is not saying that we will never suffer. But the text tells us that God always provides for us, and he gives us exactly what we need. Not necessarily the things that we want at the time, but rather the things that we need, the things that are good for us. And this protection that God offers us guards us as we weather the various storms of our lives. In verses 3 and 4, we see that the Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. This means that no matter where you are, no matter whether you are in Florida, or whether you're in California, or whether you're here in Wilkinsburg, the Lord is always with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then in verse 7, we see that only the Lord guards and protects us from all evil. In verse 7, it says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. In verse 7, we see in the first part of this verse that Christ will keep you from all evil. But a better translation of the second half of verse 7 is, he will keep your soul. He will keep your soul. So Christ is not only keeping us from all evil, but he is also guarding our souls. And this verse would have been a great comfort to the psalmist as he traveled on the road to Jerusalem. Because not only did the psalmist face the dangers of the road itself, the treachery of the actual road, and not only did he face the dangers of the elements around him, of the weather, but he also faced potential criminals that would want to cause him harm. You see, during the time of year when the Jews would travel to Jerusalem, criminals would often hide in the brush. And these evil men, they would lay in wait, and then they would jump out as the Jews were walking by, and they would steal from them, sometimes taking their lives. But in our text, we see the psalmist faithfully looking to God, asking God to preserve him and to protect him from all evil. And this is the hope that we have today, brothers and sisters. We have hope in Jesus Christ. And again, this doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to us. We will find ourselves in situations that we would rather not be in. We might even find ourselves in a very dangerous situation. But we must remember that Christ has promised to keep us from all evil and to guard our souls from this day forth and for all eternity. The parable of the Good Samaritan is a good example of the types of evil that the Jews would have faced on the road to Jerusalem. Now, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, there was a man walking on the road to Jerusalem, the very same road that the Jews would have taken. And in his journey, he was attacked and he was left half dead by robbers. A priest and a Levite, they walked by and they ignored him. They refused to offer him aid. But then a Samaritan came upon him and helped this man in distress. Now, this man was a good neighbor. This Samaritan was a good neighbor. But he was also used by God to keep the injured man from the ultimate consequence of that evil act. Some argue that the man was not kept from evil because someone attacked him. And to agree, that's true. Evil men did attack this man. But I would argue that he was kept from the ultimate consequence of that evil because God used this Samaritan to preserve that injured man's life. And Jesus Christ protects you and me from evil as well. You see, in our text, we see that Christ will protect us and keep us from the ultimate consequence of evil. He will keep our souls. He will keep our souls. And he will guard and protect us as we weather the various storms and trials around us. And so, brothers and sisters, when you find yourself in times of trouble, look to Christ. Remember that your help comes from Christ. Please look at verses 1 and 2 with me. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. In verses 1 and 2, we are looking at the first two verses of our text. And in these two verses, the psalmist is either just about to leave on his journey to Jerusalem, or he's just left. It's very early in his journey. And the psalmist begins to look up to the hills, and he begins to think about all the things that might happen to him on his journey to Jerusalem. He begins to think, well, what if I trip and fall on the road? Or what if the weather overtakes me? Or what if criminals attack me and take my life? Some of you this morning may have been afraid as you were getting ready to come here to worship. Well, in our text, we see the psalmist ask these questions. He says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where will my help come? But then with great faith, he responds to his own question. And he says, my help will come from the Lord, the very God who created the heavens and the earth. And brothers and sisters, this is the same hope that you and I have today. We have hope in Jesus Christ. And just as the psalmist looks to God in his time of trouble, so can we look to Jesus Christ in our time of distress. And Christ doesn't just help us in times of physical distress. He also helps us in times of emotional or spiritual distress. This morning, some of you may be struggling with anxiety or fear. I know some of my Facebook friends are struggling with anxiety and fear and lack of faith. But the hope for believers is that it's in those times of great despair that we will find Christ right there beside us working as our helper. Now, Mr. Smith, the elderly man that I cared for as a caregiver a number of years ago, he often felt a great deal of anxiety before he went to bed. And he kind of had this track of questions that would run through his head and he would talk to me about. He would ask things like, "George, what if I fall in the night?" And I would assure him that I was right there, and if he fell, I would be there to help him back up. And then he would say, "Well, what if I get thirsty and need a glass of water in the night? You know I can't walk on my own. I might fall." And I would assure him that I would be right there to help him in his time of need. Mr. Smith felt a great deal of fear about things that might happen to him, hypotheticals that may cause him trouble. And I was able to ease his mind. I was able to ease some of the concerns that he had by letting him know that I was right there with him, that I was by his side, and that I would help him in his time of need. And it gave him a sense of peace in knowing that I was there to help him. I think that as a caregiver, I was able to successfully meet Mr. Smith's needs. I was able to help him when he needed me. But my ability to help Mr. Smith was minuscule and minute compared to the way that Christ helps his covenant people. You see, Jesus is with us 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. No matter what trouble you face, whether it be physical or emotional or spiritual, Jesus Christ is your helper, and he is mighty to save. And Christ offers you and me his comfort and protection as a gift. It's a free gift if you believe upon him and ask him to forgive you of your sins. You see, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ loved you and me so much that he left his heavenly throne and he came to earth and lived as a man. He took on human flesh and a human nature. He was born in a filthy animal barn. And Christ lived a perfect life, being the chief example of what it means to live a godly life. Christ never complained, he never grumbled, he never used coarse language, but instead he humbled himself before his Father in order to complete the work that God had placed before him and called him to do. But not only did Christ experience the humiliation of living as a man, he also experienced all the temptations that you and I feel. But he faced all these temptations with strength and confidence in his Father in heaven. Christ never succumbed to his temptation. Christ never sinned. He truly lived the perfect life that you and I can't in order to save a people for himself. And in perfect obedience to the Father, Christ gave himself up, allowing himself to be taken into a very physically dangerous situation with people who didn't just intend to do him physical harm, but with people that actually did inflict physical harm on him. Christ loved us so much that he took upon himself our sin and our shortcomings, and he suffered one of the most painful deaths known to man so that you and I could be saved of our sins and justified before God the Father. Christ took upon himself the full weight of the cup of the wrath of God for you and me. And he did this so that everyone who professes with their mouth that Christ is Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead will be saved. And one of the great benefits that we receive through our salvation is the comfort and protection of God as we face trials, as we face hardships, and even as we face dangerous situations. And again, friends, this doesn't mean that bad things will never happen to us. What this means is that Christ will guard and protect us in this life and the life to come. Now, to those of you this morning who have not yet trusted in Christ, to those of you who have not yet professed Christ as your King and your Lord, what is your hope in? What is your faith in? Is your hope in yourself? Is your hope in your family? Is your hope in your children or your friends? Friends, your family will fail you. Your friends, they will fail you. Your neighbors, they will fail you. But the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail you. And he will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. Jesus says to you, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." If you have not yet accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, don't leave this morning without bowing your knee to Christ. Now, for those of you who have accepted Christ as your Savior, to those of you who have placed your hope in him, when you find yourself in times of trouble, trust in the Lord who will keep your feet from stumbling, who will keep you from the elements, who will keep you from all evil, and who has promised to keep your soul. He has promised to keep your soul. Christians, if you are a new creature in Christ, if you have been given new life through him, then what do you have to fear? What can man do to you? Friends, if you are in Christ, the very worst thing that could happen to you is that your physical body could be killed. In reality, that is not an insignificant thing. That is a very significant thing. But brothers and sisters, if you are in Christ, he has promised to keep your soul. If a man were to kill your physical body, you would be reunited with Christ, who has promised to keep you and to protect you for all eternity. And the Apostle Paul said these words to the Philippians. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Trust in Christ. He will guard your steps. He will watch your coming in and your going out. He will keep you from all evil. And he will protect you from his and your enemies for all eternity." Jesus Christ, the living God, the personal God, the God that has experienced all the suffering and the misery that you and I have, has called you by name. You are his. And he has promised to keep you and to protect you in this life and the life to come. Again, this doesn't mean that bad things will never happen. But brothers and sisters, even if you or I were to be killed, Christ has promised to guard and to protect us for all eternity. You see, there is nowhere safer that you can be than in Jesus. There is nowhere safer that you can be than in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that you've given to us. We thank you for the way that it comforts us during times of distress. Lord, we thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, willingly took our sins upon himself on the cross. And we thank you that as believers, one of the great joys that we experience is the comfort and protection of God as we face various dangers and trials. Now, Lord, as we go out today and this week, we ask that you would use us to be ministers of your grace to those around us. Lord, there are lots of people in our community that are hurting. The reality is there are a lot of believers and unbelievers hurting. And so we ask that you would use us to share your gospel with others so that others may find peace in and through you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.